Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Linda, and this is Soul in the City. And I'm so glad that you could come and join us today. We're going to talk about love. And is really loving as Christ loved? Is that radical? And if it is, why is it loving as Christ loved us? As God loved us, why is that such a radical thing? So I just want you to sit back and relax. Let's even begin with a, let's just rest in the Spirit of God. Let's open up our hearts and our minds and say a prayer. Father God, we just thank you. First of all, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the relationships, that we can choose to have a relationship with you at any given moment, and that your love knows no boundaries, knows no limits. And Father God, I just pray at the sound of my voice that there will be others that get to know you and to experience the love that you give us, Father God, each and every day, as that we progress and we get to know you, that our love for you and for our brothers grows more and more and more, and that we learn the intensity, the gravity, the fullness of the love that you have for us. And Father God, if it's somebody right now at the sound of my voice that don't know you, that don't know that kind of love that I'm talking about, Father God, I ask that you open up their hearts to receive, to be able to comprehend in their mind that you love us just like that, that your love knows no boundaries, no limits, no dimensions of time, space, or existence, that you love us before we even were. Thank you, God, that we can be connected to that kind of love. Hallelujah and amen. We're going to stop and listen. Do you know that kind of love I'm talking about? If you don't, I invite you to connect with God. Call us. We'll pray you through to know that kind of love that God has for us. So I'm just going to do a little B.B. Winans, and I fell in love with God. And then we're going to come back and talk about, is loving like God loves us radical? So let's do a little B.B. Winans, I fell in love with God. You better, if you don't know about that, you better ask somebody, I fell in love with God.
God. It seemed just yesterday I fell in love with God. The moment he passed my way, he spoke so tenderly. He told me he loved me, yes.
I fell in love with God. And you know, when you have gotten to that place where you fall in love with God, it is so awesome. And it opens the door for you to love others with an intensity, with an openness, with a progression. As you develop that relationship with God, you learn to progressively love yourself, which is the beginning of the extension of that love with God, is to love yourself first and then love your brother. Well, anyway, I have an exciting, awesome guest today. I think she's a phenomenal woman. And her name is Tanisha Reynolds. And I have a secret guest that I know she's going to have to say something, because the Spirit of the Lord is going to be so strong in this program as we are reaching out and touching lives and changing people. When she speaks, you'll just know, because I know she's going to have to say something. Hallelujah. Welcome, Tanisha.
Hey, how are you? It's glad to be here. Hello, Blog
Great.
Talk Radio.
And you know, I think you're phenomenal.
Wow. Thank you so much. Of course you would, because I'm your daughter. So.
Well, that's right. So I can't think that you are nothing but his gift to me, truly. I just think you are phenomenal. When I grow up, I'm going to be just like you. Anyway, let's talk about loving radically.
All
what
right.
You got, girl?
Well, I guess you asked the question, you brought up the question of, is love radical? And really, the first answer, I think, off the top, we'll say no, it's not radical to love like, you know, God loves. That's what we'll say off the top. But I think a conversation that me and you had about 2 weeks ago really sparked this question in us, and it is because, really, it is radical, because we don't, as humans, we really don't love like God intended us to love. And so the real answer to the question, within the confines of the world, to love like God loves is radical. However, it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be, but it is so radical to love as Christ loved us. As God loved us, that he gave his only begotten son. That kind of love that you is sacrificial, it is uplifting, and it is radical. Because even think about how Christ loved us. Because to love radical is also to correct people when they're wrong, you know. Think about what he did in the temple with the money changers. That was out of radical love, you know, and people don't always think about that. We do think about the loving and the giving, but if you think about Christ and how he loved us, even with the 12 men that he changed the world with and his disciples, he loved them in a way that he imparted, but that was a radical love, because he loved Judas, knowing from the beginning what he was going to do.
Right, which brings up, I was kind of doing a little bit of study in that, and that is brings up the type of love was agape, and a friend of mine kind of put me through that pattern there, but agape love, which is unconditional love, and that's how God loves us. It's unconditional. You know, even in our mess, our mistakes, our pain, our insecurities, God still loves us. He loves us and loves us till we are whole, until we're free, until we're better.
And that is so true. It really is. You know, I'm going to kind of pause right here, because, you know, we like to have some foundational word to build off of. And I'm going to let you give me a couple of scriptures. But I'm kind of going through 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to kind of just read that chapter. And we're all familiar with that chapter. But when I want you to think of it in a way that you reflect on God's love for us and how we should love others. And I really want to go through some love, like, you know, agape love, that eros love, the love in relationships that and we have between a man and a woman, and the love that we have for our brother men, for our neighbor, and all, and that kind of love. So I'll go with the gift of love, and this is 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clinging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own ways. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been known, as I have known fully. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Wow, that's all you can say. You know what? What strikes me, or what came across, and which I have picked up just as you were reading it, that it really never picked up before. I was talking, you know, about that. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But you know what? To love like God, it takes, you have to come to a level of maturity to love like God. You know what I'm saying? I finally, like, I got rhema about that thing while you were reading it. It was like, that's a mature love. You know, like, It ain't for babies. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come to a maturity level to love like God loves. And when we're immature, we can't love like he loves.
And you know, we can say that even in our love walk in a relationship or with our brother, if we can't comprehend this, or, and you know, it's a progressive, you got to grow. This is a glory to glory kind of love that we're talking about, that you grow with it as you grow with glory to glory in your understanding. This is a divine love that you have to have a connection with the creator of the universe kind of thing to comprehend, or even, because as I was reading it, hallelujah, you know, the spirit just kind of getting up in me, so y'all going to have to forgive me. You know how I am. But anyway, it made me feel like, woo, Lord. I got a ways to go here, because it endures all things, you know? It doesn't insist on its own way.
And then it's patient. And what scripture was coming up in me was John 15:13, but that's referring to no greater love than one that would lay down his life. So if we were talking about love, that's a mature, I mean, it's sacrificial. You have to die to self to really love like God loves. And as we were speaking earlier, die to your own self-motive, you know, and that kind
that's
of thing
word.
To love really like God loves. It's not manipulative.
It's not. It is not manipulative, and I think that is a great word. That you, it's a love without motive. Because, you know, sometimes even unintentionally, unconsciously, I'm just putting it out there, even with a love relationship, when you even begin the relationship, your motive is, as a woman, to get that man.
Mm-hmm.
Or as a man, to get that woman. So there's a motive, and not that it's anything wrong with that, but what happens is once you get them, the chase is gone. And is that really love? That's kind of going back to that erotic, eros type love.
Mm-hmm. But then, you know, but like you said, that's good. That's good. But, you know, because really, like, the love like, but you got to love like God loves, you got to love somebody that may not love you back.
Mm, speak on that. And that is a process, and that is hard. If you perceive it to be that way.
Oh, And that's good. You know, our mysterious guest over here shed some light on the fact. He said Eros love is time limited. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, you know, when you pray, you say, God, it supersedes time and dimension. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, that's actually, you know, that relation, how the world, you know, just that love, Eros, it puts God's love in a box. Because it's time, sometimes it's time sensitive, whereas his love is, it goes beyond those dimensions. So that's deep right there.
It is. And it is radical to love that way in today's world or in our frame of reference as being humans. The humanness in us, it's hard for us to grasp that. Even as I read that, some parts of me, that human part of me, was like, wow. But, you know, it takes you to love that way through his essence, through the Spirit or the Holy Spirit in you, teaches you and guides you to that kind of love, because that's the connection with God.
That is true. And that was bringing me back to, you know, how I asked the question, because really, you know, can you love without God? You know what I'm saying? Who is love? But how we were just talking about how, you know, you mature and he teaches you and you grow and it is progressive.
It is a progress. I don't think you done. This is my, and hey, the guest call-in number is 760-695-1120 if you got a comment. If you don't, if you want to text me, write me, or whatever. But personally, I don't feel like you really comprehend the depth and the fullness of love unless you have a connection, unless you are connected to God through Christ. You know, that's just me. I know I got listeners from every kind of thing, but I don't feel like you really comprehend that, because I don't feel like it would be so many lost souls if they really comprehended the depth of God's love, and you can only begin to comprehend it when you're connected to him. What's your thought on
that? And that was good. You were like talking about, you know, like so many lost souls. I think it's, I always think about, Color Purple is my, you know, I hate to bring that into it, you know, it's one of my favorite movies, but, you know, I like should, you know, they talk about, well, everybody just want to be loved. But that statement came back to me in that really at the end of the day, like, we all, I think, because I had to think about it, like, you know how in this scripture in Mark that I looked up, you know, God commanded that, number first, you love God, you know, and then you love your neighbor. And he said this was the greatest commandment. And I'm looking like, why is it the greatest commandment to love? And really, at the end of the day, we all want to be loved. You know what I'm saying? And you think about babies. I know I'm in the healthcare field, and there's a condition called failure to thrive for newborn babies.
That happens
babies.
To
and
older
babies,
people, too.
For older
adults,
people,
they fail to
thrive. That human connection, they physically start to not eat. They start to not, well, they not thriving to the point that they can even die because no one is around. They haven't bonded with another human being or haven't made that connection and physically manifested. So at the end of the day, I think also I was kind of reflecting on why is it the greatest commandment? Number one, because God created us to love him, you know, and to share his love, you know what I'm saying? But because we are beings that need love, we need love to thrive, to be all that we can be, it's vital to us. Like, I don't even think, like, we need love.
We do. Well, and if you break it on down, because you just said it, God is love. So wouldn't that be a building block of who we are? And we are his essence. If you know, the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of God, whether you woke up to that Spirit, it's in you. You just got to wake it up and accept God, you know. But when you wake up that Spirit, you wake up that Spirit of love, and that you need that to thrive. And those who are not connected to God spiritually, aren't they like at a failure to thrive level because they have connected to the source of love?
Yeah, they're lost, because that's what, yeah, cause when you don't, you know what I'm saying, when you haven't, you think about, let's just, we can keep it real, you know, just us as women, you know, when we either haven't had a father in our life or are yearning for a relationship with a man, and how many bad decisions we make out of trying to get get something that we don't have or never has been fulfilled in our life. You know, we go from man to man and, you know, accept any kind of treatment a lot of times and degrade ourselves because we are seeking, but at the end of the, because we're seeking a pure love.
And we're seeking to feel an emptiness inside of us. And you do have, you have an emptiness in you because that place is really supposed to be filled with that love, that connection, that love of God, that love of who you are as connected to God. And so when you have that emptiness, you don't have the Father, physical, spiritual. Think about that. You don't have the spiritual Father connection. You don't have the natural Father connection. You've never been shown through that fatherly connection what it is to love a man and a man to love you back. It really kind of would leave a hole.
But then, and then I go back to thinking, like, you know, why would he command it? Why is it the greatest commandment? Because actually, when we don't, love and when we don't stand into the position that he's called us in as far as love, whether that's being a friend, a mother, a parent, a spouse, you know what I'm saying? You you really, you called another, you know what I'm saying? You denying somebody else of something that he called you to in their life. You know what I'm saying? So if we're dependent on each other in that way, you know, and that kind of just came to me as why it's such a great commandment. Because it's like, for instance, if I'm a parent and I don't, you know, stand or obey that call on my life to love my child and be that physical manifestation of God's love, be that face of God in their life, you know, be that physical manifestation in their life, then I cause damage.
Yeah.
Pain that, you know, that God the Father himself can restore in his love, you know what I'm saying? But he, you know, he is calling us to be a physical demonstration of him in the earth realm.
He is, and really when you said that, it brought up to me a generational curse that can go back to you not knowing to love, like a mother not knowing how to love her child, you know, and not being that physical manifestation, like you said, of God's love, that could go on. That child then does not know how to love or mother or, you know, father in the same instance, father that child, that physical manifestation of God's relationship with us. That mother father is a physical manifestation of the family love that God has for us. And it goes from generation to generation. You know, and it that even touched me as soon as you said it, that can be the beginning of a generational curse, not knowing and not being the true manifestation of the love of God in the family unit.
That goes back, too, to the revelation he had given me about marriage. I told you I was reading that book called God's Masterpiece and how he intended for marriage to reflect Christ's love for the church. You know what I'm saying? It's to reflect that level of sacrifice and that level of love. So, like, the world should be able to look at a marriage and it be ministry in that, oh, wow, they love each other like Christ loves. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They forgive. Like you said, what did you say earlier? Radical love takes radical forgiveness. They forgive like Christ forgave. They love like Christ loved. And I'm seeing this because a lot of times, you know, we don't know how to do things because we've never seen it. You know what I'm saying? Or we don't know because it hadn't been demonstrated to us. But when we mature and come into this type of love in our lives and we're walking it out in our marriage and our family with our friends, with our foes, with our enemies, you know what I'm saying, then we are pulling other people to Christ, number one, because they're being able to see physically, tangibly, what his love looks like.
Which really calls for the followers of Christ to me, and I'm going to be out there because you know I am, and I say what it is, nothing different. I feel like a lot of us are failing there, and I'm going to tell you why. And in this generation where so many people need our love, they need to see we need to be the walking epistle of love on the earth. And I feel like a lot of people are not always seeing that, because we are, there's something wrong, and I'm saying this for myself, there's something wrong with our love walk, and so we don't know how to portray that to our brother man, to our fellow man. And even in the thing, and I'm going to put it out there because it is what it is, even in the thing with the church and homosexuality, not that, you know, I don't condone one way or the other, what I'm saying is that we got to love them. You don't have to agree with their lifestyle, but we got to love them.
Well, you love, that's how you bring, if you bring to Christ. And as you're loving, you know what I'm saying? You're demonstrating, mm-hmm. you're loving and you're showing another way. Your love walk becomes attractive. What is it?
Right.
That's how you bring people to Christ. But like you said, God will show, you know, when you said love, is radical love correct too? You know what I'm saying? But
it does.
In a loving
it
way,
does.
It doesn't condemn. God's love doesn't condemn.
But it does
but it
correct.
Real lovingly correct.
Because even think with a parent and her child, if you really love your child, you're not going to let your child just drunk, run rapid, do any old kind of thing, talk to people. If you never correct that child, I would have to ask you, do you really love them?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
that's true.
You know,
but you
if
love
you love them, you would know that if you don't.
As a parent, you're going to correct them because that's love too. But you're going to love them regardless of what, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
I mean,
regardless of their decision, that's your child, you're going to love them. But you also have a responsibility to, in a loving way, correct them, not in a condemning way that makes them feel bad about themselves, but in a loving way that may, that calls them up to be the full
who God created them to
God
be.
God created them to be.
Right. And I feel like God does that to us. You know, you do some things in his own way. You get that consciousness in yourself. I'm just saying, whatever you do that you know ain't right. Yeah, we all know. But that consciousness, that thought comes up first. There's a you feel uncomfortable with it at some point. Then you start having to deal with that. That is him correcting. And then there's the consequences of whatever you have done. Be it through ignorance or whatever, there's the consequences of that. And in lovingly, he allows us sometimes to go through the consequences of that, and that's still love, and it's radical love, because through the consequences, there's a growth there and a realization a lot of times. It's just like the moth to the butterfly. I've heard people say that if you mess with the development of that moth before coming a butterfly, you can sometimes kill the moth. And I feel like that's what God does with us. Sometimes, even as a parent, if you've tried to do some things with your child, sometimes you will have to allow them as a parent to go through the consequences of their actions. Doesn't mean that you don't love them, but the greater lesson is the blessing there for them going through the consequences of whatever action that they did. And that's love, too. And it's sometimes, for some parents, that's a radical love because you don't want to do that. But if a lot of times if you don't allow them to suffer those consequences as a child in minor situations, when they get to be adult, sometimes they act out in ways that are not becoming, or it really interferes with their maturity level when they've not been allowed or corrected in certain things.
Well, I'm gonna bring up what my pastor said today. When he was speaking, he was talking about we were talking about freedom, but he was saying freedom is a process. He was like, because a lot of times, you know, there is character to be gained in the process. You know, so sometimes, you know, a person may not be where you feel like they should be. You know, but we're not patient with people when they're not at where we want them to be. But they're going to be there, but there is some things that they need to gain from the process so that when they get there, they can maintain it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. That's a good word.
You know, so that was, that blessed me because it's like, oh, I see. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, you know, we're like, why aren't you here? Why aren't you doing this when someone, you know, why? But there's something to be gained in the process, and there is character, things that we need for the blessing that we need to get through the process.
That's so true. And I think we were talking earlier, as we sometimes do, and I think I said that a lot of times, in loving somebody, and you maybe they're not where you feel like they should be, you have to know that we each are on a spiritual journey, and we each have lessons to learn on our journey. And some people may be further along and some people may be behind, but we're all, you know, we're getting to that path, and you have to allow people the time to go there. I have a guest caller. Let me see what they're saying. Hold 1 second, Tanisha. Okay. This is Linda. Do you have something for us? Hello?
Yes, this is Taylor from New Orleans. How are you?
I am just fine. I'm so glad that you called in. What do you have? Do you have a question or a comment for us?
I have a comment. So I was reading the little statement under your show, you know, loving how loving as God loves us. Now I will say, personally, I don't believe in a God of any kind. I hold no religion. But what I will say is that I don't think, even if there was such God, I don't think that he could ever love someone the way someone like me loves someone. Because, and that may sound offensive, but for me, I don't know what happens when I die. I don't claim to know. You know, either it's nothingness, or maybe it's hell, if it did exist, or a multitude of things. There's a complete unknown for me. Whereas for someone else, it's, you know, there's heaven, there's what have you. For God, in fact, He is God. So what has he to fear, or to not know? So for me to love someone, like my child or my wife, to be willing to die for them, for a cause, for something, I've got nothing to look forward to. I don't know what lies on the other side, if anything. So in that way, my sacrifice, I would say, is greater. So.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I thank you for your comment. It is something to think about. I still have to say that there is, you know, for me, I believe that there is something when you're connected to God that you don't have to believe that there's nothingness. I think it's very awesome that your love, that is portrayal of God, whether you acknowledge him or not, that you will love your family that way as a sacrifice. But let me just tell you that through my experience, there is something after this. And
what do you
won't
mean,
feel that now. I'm sorry?
What do you mean? You said your experience?
Well, just with my experience with God. And I guess, you know, if you wanted me to go scientifically, like to prove, it would be more spiritual for me, because I know that there is a God and that he is real. And that when this is gone, because I have a relationship with him, that I'm a infinite being. I don't have an ending. My spirit is forever and ever and ever. Because I'm joined with him, I'm not a finite being, and I'm not defined by space, time, or dimension, because he's ever going,
but
and I'm connected to him.
But don't you see the difference there in just that itself, in the idea that you're infinite, you know, you will never end. Whereas I've got one shot. I've got maybe till 5 minutes from now, maybe a year, maybe a day. I don't know.
But
for me,
a choice.
It's very eternal.
Not necessarily. But you can choose. You can choose a different way, in a second.
But I wouldn't
want.
But I wouldn't want to. You see how that would demean things? It'd be like it for me. I'll give it to you this way: if there was a heaven, let's say as the Bible says, you know, Jesus makes his second coming, you're given a last chance to say, you know, I accept God as my Savior. And just a moment before in at the gates of heaven, I would say no, thank you. For me, the idea of heaven, an idea of a place that's completely blissful, where there's no more challenges, there's no more fears, there's no more conflict, there's no more wars, there's no more problems. What life would be to me then would be banal. You know, we appreciate the sunny days, we appreciate beauty in life because we've seen the inverse of it. We've seen hard days. We've had troubles before. That's what makes taking a nice warm bath at night after a long, hard day out in the sun so wonderful, because now you've relaxed after having such a day of hardness. And so to go on for an eternity in a place so blissful, it would be much like, you know, the idea of the immortal. You know, as time goes on and you're immortal, you just, it becomes a blur. You know, you no longer really grasp the true beauty and having only a short time to do something or having hard times than having good ones.
I so appreciate that you called in, and Tanisha probably has something. But you know what I talked about, the dimensions? Because we only see things through one dimension. And when you're connected with spirit, just like in what you were saying, enjoying the sunset, well, we see it from this dimension on an earth plane. But spiritually, there's another dimension in that sunset. So through eternity, I can learn 1 million dimensions of the sun, and I don't limit myself to a boundary that I could only enjoy it this one time, this one way. And with the infiniteness of my spirit, I can learn to enjoy that same sunset infinitely. So, but I'm not, you know, it's not, brother, I so appreciate your calling in. I will pray that you get to know God in another dimension, but I appreciate that we can dialogue about it. That's what this show is all about. I learn from you, you learn from me, and we can dialogue. So I just want to thank you for calling in.
No problem.
Okay. All right, Tanisha, you sounded like you had something.
Yeah, I want to thank them too for calling. I think what was coming to my mind when as the brother was speaking though was that in some way the love that he was talking about, we were talking about God's love, was the sacrifice. God's love is sacrificial. Christ died for us, you know, so that we can be all that we can be, you know, so that we can receive his word and grow and love and be who we're called to be. But with no greater love than one who would lay down his life for a friend. So
well,
that is,
you know, the issue I have with the sacrifice that I've read of God, especially when it comes to mind, talking about Abraham and Isaac, you know, I can never empathize with a man willing to harm his own children, let alone sacrifice him for the sake of someone saying, well, I want you to, for me. And yes, I do know that he, you know, in the story, God stepped in and said, never mind, kill this other animal instead. You know, and even that, I think we forget, isn't something that we'd be okay with today. You know, someone would kill a dog and say, we were sacrificing to God. You'd look at them in horror. They killed their own child and say God spoke to them. You'd institutionalize them or throw them in jail. Where's the faith then? So I think that sacrifice, and especially with Jesus, God's own son, to sacrifice your own son, I would never sacrifice my son or my daughter for anything. If the whole world depended upon me killing my own child, then the whole world would be having a very bad day, because it's not my life to take. It's not the right of a father to harm his own child.
And I so understand what you're saying, but thank God that it didn't depend on you and your love for your son. And I, you know, and I still understand what you're saying, but thank God that it, not, and me too, because I feel the same way, because, you know, the other person on the line is my daughter, and if the world depended on me to give up my child, I don't think I could. So thank God that it didn't depend on us.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Renee, the quiet person. May I say something?
Yes.
Okay. One thing is God created us. I understand that you don't believe. However, isn't it an awesome thing that God not only made us in his image and likeness, but the thing is, when you, how can I put this? He had, the way the concept is to sacrifice, was to sacrifice. And that proves to me and to the whole world that, because it had to be a blood sacrifice, that we could never love like God loved. He didn't take and personally kill his son. The people killed the son. But he knew he had it to happen because there had to be a blood sacrifice. For the word of God says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace is upon us, and with his stripes we were healed. In every beating, in every whipping, in every process, there was a reason. There's a cause and effect in everything that we do on earth. And it had to start somewhere. It started in the heavenlies. Like she said earlier, the dimensions. It started, there's so many things that we don't understand about the spirit realm, but we do understand the natural realm. Everything starts in the spirit realm first, and then it is manifested in the natural. Therefore, no, you would not be able to sacrifice your son because you're not God. The one who created man can make another son. He can sacrifice what he can sacrifice, number one, his son, because that's himself. And if he made himself flesh, and so that when he made himself flesh, because he is just so awesome that he would not be able to be in flesh on the earth. So he made himself flesh, he brought in, and he made it his son, and his son was sacrificed, and then he had the Holy Spirit. How much more love? You can't understand it, nor can I understand that why would someone go to that extreme to love us? But every part of that sacrifice was well thought. From the betrayal from the betrayal by Judas to the resurrection of Christ. Everything was well thought, everything was well planned, so that God forbid your son, if something was to happen to your son because of the blood that was shed upon Calvary, because of his love, your son can be saved. And I'm not talking about saved from you know, giving his life to Christ, but he can be saved whether he is in a car accident. He can call upon the name of Jesus, and therefore Jesus will answer him. He will be rescued by that same one who you say that there is a problem, you know, that's wrong, but that is not wrong, because things are sacrificed, whether it's a vegetable is sacrificed so you can eat. An animal is sacrificed if you eat meat to eat. No matter, a flower is sacrificed so that you can bring your wife roses. They are cut, the thorns are cut off of them. Things are sacrificed for you, because that's the whole word, sacrifice. He set aside sacrifice. He sacrificed everything for love. That's why the only way that you can understand, fathom, or ever feel the love of God is if you have an intimate time with him. If you allow his Holy Spirit to come in and suck with you, same way if you, I don't know if you're a person that meditate or rest or spend time with yourself, but if you allow him to come in, you would understand what the radio host and what her daughter is talking about. You will come to grips and understand that this is what they were speaking of, because you're going to have to learn on your own. You're going to have to learn in his love on your own. You're going to have to learn him by yourself. And when you do, then your whole opinion will change.
Right. Well,
I'm sorry?
The only issue that I have with that is that, you know, talking about the sacrifice of roses for my wife and things like that. Yeah, you're correct, but would you ever sacrifice a dog? Would you kill a dog and then give it to your husband? You know, there's a difference in what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, and especially when it comes to the sacrifice of Jesus being God in flesh form. Well, if I'm an all-powerful, all-knowing being, you're right. To me, it's not quite the same as someone, like, as I said before, as me sacrificing without knowing what happens. You've got a God who knows that he will, once again, you know, he will still exist. He will still be God. He's coming down in flesh form. And you're right, he may suffer in the flesh. And you say that I can't beat that, or however you worded it. But I would wager that it's already been beaten. For instance, there's a Buddhist monk in the Vietnam War who sat down in the middle of the street in protest of the people telling him he could not practice his religion. And he covered himself in gasoline and burned himself to death. He burned for 10 minutes. And he was sat perfectly still. He made no sound. He said no words. He just burned. And there's videos of it. It's quite fascinating and almost beautiful in the darkest way. That kind of pain, I would wager, would be more than sitting on a cross, not to, you know, defile that image. But
I'm sorry. I'm going to let you finish, brother. And would you give us your first name, please?
Taylor.
Or do you feel comfortable with that?
Taylor. Yes, I feel
Taylor. Okay, Taylor. I'm going to let you finish your statement. Because, you know, at a certain point for me, it becomes a debate. And I don't debate on God because I allow him to, and I pray that he touches your spirit and you get to know him in those dimensions that we're talking about. So I'm going to allow you to, you know, just go ahead and finish your statement. And let's just say that we agree to disagree. I respect your opinion. I always want to be a person that can listen and respect your opinion, but we agree to disagree. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Would you finish your statement? Because you were about to say something. I want you to finish your statement.
Okay. Only because you asked me to. Because if it's not up for dialogue, then it's not up for dialogue. But I was going to say you two are quite free to believe that a sentient creator deliberately, consciously put himself, a being, put herself, himself, mm-hmm. or itself to the trouble of going through huge epochs, a birth and death of species over eons of time, over the course of which over 99.9% of all species, all life forms ever to have appeared on Earth, have become extinct. But there did come a time, probably about 180,000 years ago, when due to a terrible climatic event, probably in Indonesia, an appalling global warming crisis occurred. And the estimate is that the number of humans in Africa went down to between 30 and 40,000. This close, think about fine-tuning, this close to joining every other species that had ever gone extinct. And that's our Exodus story. And that somehow, we don't know how, it's not written in any scripture, it's not told in any book, it's not part of any superstitious narrative, but somehow the escape from Africa to cooler latitudes was made. But that's how close it was. And you have to be able to imagine when you talk about this sacrifice, you have to be able to imagine that all of this mass extinction and death, this randomness, is the will of a being. You're absolutely free to believe that if you wish. And that all of this should happen so that a very imperfect race of evolved primates should have the opportunity to become Christians. All of that was done with us in view. It's a curious kind of solipsism. It's a curious kind of self-centeredness. I was always brought up to believe that Christians were modest and supported themselves with deep humility. This,
Mom, I wanted to say something.
Okay, I'm done.
Well, I guess I can't finish my statement. So
go ahead and finish your statement. You were coming to an end, so I really want to respect what you have to say. Because, I mean, there are some things that I do agree with, some things I don't. So I do want you to finish, and then I'm going to let Tanisha speak so that we all are in dialogue equally. Okay.
There's a certain arrogance to this assumption that all of this extraordinary development was all about us, that we were the intended and designed result, and everything else was in the discard, the tremendous wastefulness of it, the tremendous cruelty of it, the tremendous caprice of it, the tremendous tinkering and incompetence of it. But never mind, at least we're here.
Well, and that is your opinion, which I totally respect. And so, Tanisha, I'm going to let you speak now. What's going on, girl?
Oh, I just wanted, I'm going to kind of take us to back, get us back to love, actually. So I had two statements, but just, you know, in personal, like at the end of the day, we have to agree to disagree, like you were saying, and respect and learn, you know, from each other. But from a personal standpoint, For me, God's love, I'm so glad to have it and for it to cover all because of it, I can be who I am today. Had I not had that love, I wouldn't be half of who I am. Had God not loved me enough to allow me to have a mother that would pour into me and be able to show me his love, help me be the woman I am today. Had he not blessed me with spiritual people and spiritual friends to go on my journey, had he not poured into me and given me his word, which has taken me to a new level, just his word alone, like his word, the biblical scriptures, had he not given me his word, I wouldn't even be able to stand here and talk to you today. So I am so grateful for the love of God. And so and just to kind of switch back and get back on love, I wanted to bring up the question or ask the question for other callers or, you know, as a dialogue for you, Mom, to kind of go into and for us to kind of turn the page is to say, how do we, you know, because I feel like with that call, what the question that comes to my mind is that people are earning to know is, how do we love like God? Being that we are human beings, and we, you know, like we said, it's from glory to glory. It's progressive. We're ever learning and ever just encompassing on a little minute bit of how he loves. But as we're growing in that and getting more and more confident and being more and more able to demonstrate that and getting more and more revelation about his love, how that's progressive, but where do I start? If I'm not a Christian, or if I am a Christian, and where do I start in this love walk, and how do I love like Christ loves?
Okay, I'm just going to go there. I think my caller, I think Taylor is still on here.
Well, I really respect the brother,
and I appreciate your calling.
Asking you. Yeah,
okay.
This is between us now.
Okay. I think how do we begin today? We, you know, just professing, first of all, that God is, because that's the beginning, to know that there is a God and God is, because how will we get here? How do we breathe? How do we move? How did the earth even spark to be here? And I know all the Big Bang Theory and all of that, but how did that? And even to the point of that we have to have that connection to even understand the depth of who he is. He's infinite. He is the creator of the whole universe. And in order to thrive in this verse, in this universe that we live in, we have to be connected to that universe of who he is, to who he is as a creator. That's the beginning, to first acknowledge that there is a God and that you have to be connected to him. First to do that, to know that he loves you so much that there was a sacrifice, but it's not just about the sacrifice, it's about the love that he has for us. And that he demonstrates his love. And, you know, sometimes I feel like we see God as this angry, can't wait to get you, beat you down, and that is really a deception of man of who God is because of man's limited knowledge and understanding. But God is so much more above that. He is all love. He's the essence of love. He is love. And so we can't even begin to understand that until, first of all, it's like you can't understand something that you're not connected to. So it's first to acknowledge him, to acknowledge that he's existed, that he exists, and then to accept him.
Yeah, accept his son.
And to accept the free gift of the free gift of his love that he's shown through having his son come down in human flesh and to be among the earth to show us that way, to show us how to connect, to show that. And then he gives you the free will, just like that brother does not believe, that you can breathe every day on his earth and not accept who he is. That's love.
That is love. That is love. That's love. But that's our God, because we were talking about that, though. He gives us, we said love is liberating. You know, that brings it back to love is liberating. It where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. God loves us so much that he gives us the freedom to choose, but loves us in the process.
You guys have some more.
No, that was it. I think we can sum up or, you know, some closing thoughts.
Well, my closing thought is, and I hope Taylor is listening, I so appreciated that you called. Because you know what you did today? You stretched me. And you allowed me to tell you about the greatness of my God and that I do not have an ending. I only continue to grow because I'm connected to the creator of the universe. And you know what you did today? I want to thank you, Taylor, is that you stretched my mind, you stretched me, and you helped me appreciate that I'm connected to the creator of the universe and that I'm an infinite being.
Well, all right, so I don't know. I think it was overall a good show. I hope everyone goes out and loves their neighbor as themselves. You know, give somebody a hug.
Yes,
love
Lord.
On somebody and be blessed.
Yes. Does our silent partner, Renee, have a final thought? We got 2 minutes.
I love you.
I love you too, girl. And so, this is Soul in the City, where we inspire you to go higher and higher in the spirit, and we inspire you to challenge us. All right, I love a challenge, baby, because you know what? I can stand on the word of God fully. So, today, I just want you to be blessed because you are. Be powerful because you are. Be intelligent because you are connected to the infinite intelligence of the universe. So, this is Soul in the City, where, like I said, we inspire you to go higher and higher. Bless you, Taylor. Love you. And
bye.
This is it. Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a good evening.